Exodus chapter 28, we're going to read verses 1 through 5, and then we're going to jump down to chapter 29, and going to read verses 44 through 46. So 28, 1 through 5, and 29, 44 through 46. Exodus 28 says, "Have Aaron, your brother, brought to you from among the Israelites, along with his sons Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, so they may serve me as priests. Make sacred garments for your brother Aaron to give him dignity and honor. Tell all the skilled men to whom I have given wisdom in such matters that they are to make garments for Aaron for his consecration, so he may serve me as priest. These are the garments they are to make: a breastpiece, an ephod, a robe, a woven tunic, a turban and a sash. They are to make these sacred garments for your brother Aaron and his sons, so they may serve me as priests. Have them use gold and blue, purple and scarlet yarn and fine linen." In 29, verse number 44, says, "So I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar, and will consecrate Aaron and his sons to serve me as priests. Then I will dwell among the Israelites and be their God. They will know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of Egypt, so that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God." Well, on the brink of the Christmas holiday, it would be appropriate to deviate from our series that focuses on the tabernacle. It wouldn't be out of place to simply say, let's pause for a moment and talk about Christmas and then return back to that series next week. No one here would mind, I don't think. There may be some of you who get really excited and geeked about talking about the tabernacle, and that might bother you for us not to talk about the tabernacle. But if there was ever an excuse to put the tabernacle on the back burner, today would be the day. I mean, it's 2 days before Christmas. So why talk about the tabernacle? If we continue to talk about the tabernacle, we've talked about all the pieces of furniture and all the implications that it holds. If we were to continue to talk about the tabernacle, I would suppose that today would be a good day to talk about the priests. You see, the priests, as we talked about all the pieces of furniture throughout the tabernacle, the priests played an important role. But I understand if some of you don't want to hear about the priests in the tabernacle, you might want to hear something about Christmas. How about this? Last night I called Justin. I said, Justin, wear anything you want to church and let's see what I wear tomorrow. Let's see what happens. He wears a green sweater and I wear a red shirt. Let's talk about Christmas, you might say. Why spend time talking about priests 2 days before Christmas? Why waste time talking about the priesthood and how God chose the tribe of Levi? The tribe of Levi to be the tribe from which priests would be chosen. God would command that priests be held in high esteem and should be given honor by the people of Israel. The priestly garments that priests wore were to distinguish them for their very important work. The garments were not cheap. It took great skill to make these garments, and God wanted skilled individuals to make these garments. These priests would serve as a go-between, an intercessor between God and man. But it's Christmas time. Let's not waste our time on talking about the priests of old and how they had so many duties. The priests had a number of daily duties. Each morning and evening, they offered a lamb a year old and with meal and oil and wine. Also, they ministered in the holy place concerning the table of showbread, the altar of incense, and the golden lampstand. In addition, they officiated at various sin offerings. The priests served as teachers in Israel and also as justices and rulers in disputes. The priests' duties were not limited to the area contained within the tabernacle. You see, the priests would minister and provide ministry throughout the entire encampment of Israel. But it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go, right? You don't want to hear about priests in a tabernacle of which Aaron, the brother of Moses, was the first high priest. He was the head honcho. He was given the responsibility to enter the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place, on the Day of Atonement and meet God on behalf of the people. Subsequent high priests would come from the tribe of Levi, and preferably from the very lineage of Aaron, the bloodline of Aaron. By the time just prior to the period of the New Testament, the high priest was chosen by lots, pretty much an election. As you can imagine, there was politicking and jockeying for position. Some of the factors that was considered in voting and selecting a high priest were how wealthy that man was, how strong he was physically, how wise he was, and how good looking he was. The choosing of the high priest became as corrupt as the priesthood itself. Priests throughout the Old Testament were called out and given warnings for their misconduct and lack of leadership. There were several judgments pronounced over the priests of old. By the time Jesus came to earth, Roman officials were selecting the high priest. They were chosen as agents to make sure Jews paid their taxes. They were cronies, and some refer to these high priests and their ilk as the mafia of that day. Okay, church, I get it. You didn't come here to hear about the tabernacle priesthood and what it became in subsequent generations. It's Christmas time, and I get it. But hear me when I say that it might be an important time for us to hear and to come to know a little bit about the priests of old, so that this Christmas I can tell you about another high priest. His name is Jesus. You might know him by that name, but others call him Emmanuel, because it means that God is literally with us. You might know him by the name Messiah, because he was anointed, chosen to be special and to do special things for the people who inhabit this earth. You might know him by the name Prince of Peace, because he has come to make peace between God and man. You might know him by the name Light of the World, because in our dark condition, Jesus has indeed enlightened us and given us clarity. You might know him by the name the Good Shepherd, because part of his ministry was one that was to lead and to guide. You might know him by the name the Bread of Life, because he indeed feeds. He feeds our malnourished spiritual souls with a bread, with a meal that is filling. You might know him by the name Alpha and Omega, because he is the first and the last and everything in between. I'm talking about another high priest here, that you might know him by those names, or you might know him by this name, the Lamb of God, because he has come to take away the sins of the whole world. And the Hebrew preacher, writer, went to great lengths to convey to believers in Christ that Jesus Christ himself was the high priest. In Hebrews chapter 3, we read this: "Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. And we are his house, if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast." It's Christmas time, and it's appropriate for us to take note that when Christ was born, a Savior was born. When Christ was born, a King was born. When Christ was born, Emmanuel, or God with us, was born. And when Christ was born, a high priest was born. This high priest was not chosen by Roman officials or a crooked Jewish ruling body. God chose him. God chose him before the world was created. God chose him. And Jesus is serving as a high priest. He is reigning as the perfect high priest. And as high priest, Christ is making intercession for us, God's people. He's the perfect mediator, as God hears him and listens to him, because he is one with him. As high priest, Jesus made atonement for our sins. At one point on a cross, he was that perfect sacrifice. As high priest, he judges, and his judgments are not tainted with bribes or agendas that are of this world. You see, church, I trust Jesus' judgment any day over any of your judgments or even my own judgment. It's Christmas time. And this Christmas, let us look to a high priest that was born in humble circumstances and humble surroundings. There was celestial fanfare as angels sang glory to God in the highest. But the small town of Bethlehem was not privy to that celebration necessarily. Well, except for some shepherds who were looking after their sheep at night. They were told first the news of a newborn king and high priest. Sometime next year, Prince William and his wife, Kate, will have a child. There will be great celebration all over Great Britain in response to this birth. It will be all over the news. There will be heralds waiting at the hospital ready to go and share and spread the news that the baby is born. People will stop and have immediate celebrations. People will have parties. If school is in session, classes will cease classes so that people in the classroom will celebrate. They'll cancel shifts at work and they'll celebrate this newborn heir to the throne in England. Families all over will have parties. Yet at the birth of Christ, people who were told were shepherds. As much as we glorify what shepherding is and leading sheep and how great a job that was, how important a job that was, please know that shepherds were not liked. They were scoundrels. In fact, in court cases, they wouldn't even let shepherds testify because they were known as liars. So even if they witnessed a crime, and they were called to a stand to testify of what they saw, people wouldn't believe them. Yet the angels pronounced to the shepherds the birth of Christ. And who were the first to go into the town and tell of the newborn king and high priest? Shepherds. No expensive courier, no celebrity announcing it on TV. It's Christmas time. And this Christmas, let us look to the Christ child who was visited by Magi and given gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold was a gift given to kings to represent their royalty. And frankincense, a savory and sweet-smelling spice, was a gift often given to priests. The wise men understood long ago at the birth that they were going to meet a king and a priest. This morning, will we make the same acknowledgement that Christ is our high priest? He is a high priest that is not after wealth, not after power, not after influence in the government. He is a high priest after your heart, after your allegiance in the ways of his Father. He is, this Christmas, wanting to be your intercessor. He is, this Christmas, wanting to let you to let him do the work of saving and washing, as opposed to our thinking that our works will win our way back to God. This Christmas, let the Jesus, this high priest, rule your heart. He has the credibility to do so. Recall with me the Hebrew writer who says this in chapter 4 of Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 14. Now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all. all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. Church, we have a high priest who understands. So this Christmas, remember that as high priest, Jesus has direct access to God. And this high priest doesn't have to wait once a year to go behind the curtain or veil to meet God. No, when Christ died, the veil in the temple was torn. That means that there is direct connection to God. This is why we are encouraged to approach God boldly. And this is why, because of Christ, we who are in Christ are priests, 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. As I have said before, as I look out into this audience, I'm not just looking at a collection of bodies. I'm looking at a collection of people who have committed to Jesus Christ, who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, and you are priests. I am looking at a royal priesthood. And because this is a royal priesthood, and because you are a priest, if you are in Christ Jesus, you have direct access to God. Do you believe it? This Christmas, understand that this Jesus was high priest, not in the likeness of Aaron or the Levites, because he wasn't from the tribe of Levi, not in the likeness of the priests we see who were full of corruption. Not sure how many votes Jesus would receive if they were voting for a high priest when Jesus was here, or if Jesus had to go through a voting process. You see, he wasn't the wealthiest or the likeliest. While I don't know much about his physical stature, the prophet Isaiah frames it this way. He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. So I'm not sure how many votes Jesus would receive based on his looks. I don't know how much money Jesus had in his bank account. Jesus did say about himself, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." So I'm not sure if his lack of wealth would influence the vote. But this I know: God chose him. God chose him to be high priest before the foundation of the world. Now that he has come, will you make him your high priest? Will you take your place in the priesthood of God? And while the tabernacle and our Christmas celebration are about pizzazz and glitz, you can't study the tabernacle without being overwhelmed by the beauty, the cost, the shiny, the bling bling, you know. You can't have Christmas without houses with house lights and all the glamour that comes with the Christmas holiday. Christ's entrance into this world as a high priest lacked all of that. There was simply a barn or a cave. There was no Graco crib from Babies R Us. There was no midwife or local anesthesia. There were two dedicated parents, Mary and Joseph. There was the Christ child born in the little town of Bethlehem, the city of David. His birth would pave the way for his ministry. You see, his ministry was about humility, exalting the needs of others above his own. And as members of his priesthood, we are to embody the same mind. And then there was the myrrh. There was the gold given to this king. There was the frankincense given to this high priest. And then there was the myrrh. Yeah, back in the day, they didn't have funeral homes. and embalming liquids, but they had spices and oils that they would put on the bodies to help counter the smell of decay. One of those anointing oils was myrrh. So at the birth of Christ, he was given an anointing oil for death, which was to say that he was born to die. Yeah, as high priest, he didn't go look for a lamb or a bull to sacrifice. He sacrificed himself. That's the high priest in the likeness of Jesus. And this Christmas, let's take time to celebrate this high priest. I like history. I love the accuracy of history. My favorite genre of film are biopic films. I haven't seen Lincoln yet. I heard it's a great film. Can't wait to see it. After I go see it, I'm going to go home and check out the veracity of all the things that was in the film. That's just what I do. I would love to tell you this morning that we could for certainty trace back that Christ was born on December 25th. I can't do it. Nobody can. That's not the point. Yet I spent years trying to prove to people that he wasn't born in December. I read a post on Facebook somebody wrote and says, you know what, I spent all these years trying to prove that Christ wasn't born in December rather than thanking God that millions of people right now are thinking about him. Amen. Listen, I'm not here to try to prove to you that Christ was born in December. Guess what? For the record, doesn't matter. Don't care. The fact was, he was born. And he was born a king. Not king of this country, not king of this nation. He was born to be king of our hearts. And so before you leave here today, you make a declaration that Jesus is king of your life. I don't know what day he was born. I don't know if he was born in the spring. I don't know if he was born in the fall. I don't know if he was born in, but he was born, and he was born a high priest. So make him high priest of your life, understanding that he wants to make intercession for you to God. I don't know when he was born exactly. Doesn't matter. But I know he was born, and he was born to die. For you and for me. So this Christmas, don't let it get away. Don't let it get lost in exchanging gifts. Don't let it get lost in eating turducken. Anyone ever had turducken? Don't let it get lost. Don't let this wonderful, merciful Savior get lost this Christmas. Whatever you have to do at this moment, this day, this season, to recommit to this high priest, to take your place in this priesthood, it's my encouragement, it's our encouragement, that you do whatever it takes to declare him high priest. As we stand and sing this song, this invitation song, if there's anything that we can do for you this Sunday, this season, the remainder of this year, we want to offer you this opportunity to come. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, if you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ in our baptistry full of water, we can do that today, I was told. Let's stand up and let's sing this song.